This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Former Oriole pitcher, he's part of the crew, of course, on 105.7 The Fan and the Orioles Radio Network. Let's bring in Ben McDonald. Ben, what's happening?
Ben.
How y'all doing today?
Doing all right. How's weather down in Louisiana on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
Man, it's nice right now. It's approaching 80 degrees already, so I think we're going to have a warm spring and summer, and didn't have much of a winter, which doesn't normally happen down here too often, but it's perfect right now. You can't beat 77 degrees.
Well, it's all right up here in Baltimore, what, 84, 85 today? Mm-hmm. Orioles, unfortunately, are out of town in Boston, start of a 9-game road trip. 5 games in, Ben. Only one quality start, that was Dylan Bundy. Of course, we talk a lot about the concern with the Orioles being the starting pitching. What are your impressions of the Orioles through the first week of the season in that area?
Well, I think some of the same concerns has been there for the Orioles the last couple of years. You know, I remember coming in last year, and that was the concern. The bullpen's always been, you know, outstanding, and the question was, could the starters, you know, throw up enough quality starts and give them a chance to win? And it appears that's still some of the same questions today, although, of course, you got to like Bundy and Gausman and others that are there. And I haven't heard lately on what Tillman's projected return is, too, but obviously whenever he gets back, that's going to add a boost. But certainly I think there's enough there, and the bullpen being what it is, I think the Orioles have a shot there this year, but I think it's going to be important, as everybody else knows and is saying, that the starters have got to get a little bit more consistency to them to really make it work.
Hey, Ben, obviously you've watched this staff in some way, shape, or form the last couple of years, and guys not going deep in games has been a huge thing and a huge concern. And, you know, just go back to when you were pitching. I mean, you know, obviously the goal then was go deep in a game. What was your mindset when you were, let's say you had your pitch count was up a ton in the first 3 innings. How would you try to get yourself righted out so you could possibly get deep in the game?
Well, it was all about pitching to contact, you know, and that's what I learned when I got into pro ball and got to the big league level, was you didn't have to try to strike everybody out, you know, and the idea was to try to, like you said, be out there as long as you could, and the goal every time was to work at least 7 innings. I mean, that was always my goal, and throughout my career, I think I averaged right at 6 2/3 or 7 innings to start is what I averaged. And so now, having said that, I think our pitch counts might have been a little bit higher back then, maybe 15 more pitches per game, which allows you to sometimes get a little bit deeper. But if you know they're going to take you out in 100, 105 pitches, I think, you know, a lot of it's got to be fastball command and being able to throw enough quality strikes early in the game to try to pitch to contact and try to keep your numbers down a little bit so you can work. But, you know, I know Miley had an interesting outing the other day where he walked 7. You know, and struck out 5. Of course, when you throw up those kinds of numbers, obviously your pitch count's going to get really high, and there's no way you're going to be able to work deep into a ball game.
Hey, Ben, you bring up pitch counts. Do you think pitch count, there's too much made of pitch counts that, you know, it's like it should be more of where a guy's at and the stress of the pitch count more than just, okay, he's at 110 pitches, let's get him out. Do you think pitch counts are maybe overused?
Yeah, I think pitch counts, we look at that number, as you say, and we say, okay, he's at 105, we got to think about it. You know, I'm like you, I had games where I threw 120 pitches, but those 120 were really having just to hump it every time and get out of a lot of big jams, and those are the kinds that really wear on you physically and mentally. If you have the kind of game where you're at 105 pitches, 110, but it's been a smooth game, it's 8-1, you hadn't been in a whole lot of trouble and things are cruising along, I felt like that's a different 110 pitches than the 110 where you're always working in trouble, you know. So I think a lot of that's got to factor into it. But I will say this, and you guys know this, the research and where they're at now opposed to where they were 25 years ago, I think there's a lot of more research out there on how guys bounce back after 105 pitches versus 110 or 120 pitches, how they bounce back not only the next start but 2 starts later, you know. And so evidently somebody thinks that seems to be the magic cutoff number, you know, is around that 110, 115 mark. And, of course, it wasn't for us. We routinely threw 125, 135, per start and didn't think anything of it, you know. And so I think it's to each his own, and some guys are different than others, and certainly veteran guys, I would think, that's been around a little bit that are healthy should be able to work a little bit deeper and a higher pitch count.
Now, Ben, after an inconsistent spring, Dylan Bundy comes up, and he pitches outstanding game against the Toronto Blue Jays, 4 hits, 1 run, no walks, 8 Ks. As you watched him last year, what did he need to work on the most to take that performance to the next level? Because at his first start, that fastball command was great, and that set up all of his other pitches, including the slider.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's about fastball command for him, you know, and getting ahead. And when he got ahead last year, just like Gosman and the rest of them, when they throw strike one and get ahead of guys, the off-speed stuff is really good, and it sets it all up after that. And when we start getting in predictable counts as pitchers, it doesn't matter who you are, how good your stuff is, but when you're constantly getting in predictable counts, and what I mean by that is 3-0 and 2-1 and 2-0 plus fastball counts, it's tough to pitch unless you're just locating perfectly that day, and obviously you're not, or you wouldn't be consistently behind in the count. And so when Dylan Bundy throws strike one and able to get to his off-speed, because he starts to create a little bit of doubt to the hitter, okay, am I getting 95 or am I getting that good breaking ball or that much improved changeup that he throws too, you know? So I think that's the key for Bundy, but I also think it's the key for every pitcher at any level you pitch at, and I always preach this, is strike one. Being able to command your pitches, be able to throw the fastball to both sides of the plate and mix in your off-speed stuff, I mean, it's a recipe for success. And, you know, going back in the days that I pitched, all we got to do is look at Greg Maddux and we look at Tom Glavine and we look at guys that threw 88 miles an hour, but yet they won over 300 games in the big leagues. But they were always ahead in the count. They were able to locate their fastball and their off-speed stuff. And, look, when you can do that, I mean, you're going to have success, and I think that's where Dylan Bundy is right now. He's really good. When I saw him pitch twice last year, it was wow for me. But I still think he's in that growing phase. I mean, we know he was hurt a lot early in his career, and so he's still getting those very valuable big league innings in. And, of course, every time he takes the mound, he becomes more consistent and a little bit smarter pitcher.
And, you know, and Ben, speaking of the young pitchers, Kevin Gausman was really good after the All-Star break last year and looked like he was, you know, moving his way toward what we hope will be a top-of-the-rotation type guy. His first two starts, he's scuffled with base runners and high pitch counts, but it's two starts. I don't think you make a ton of it. Maybe you can. I just look at it like it's early. What are your thoughts on Gausman at this point?
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's too early to say where he's at this year, you know, and I loved, obviously, the way he pitched. He was one of the better pitchers in baseball the second half of the season, you know, and the wins didn't always show up for him because, as we know, a lot to do with winning ball games in the big leagues is getting run support and all that kind of stuff. But when you look at the stuff, it's wow. You know, I mean, it's the fastball is explosive and it's got a little bit of deception to it and it really moves. And so, but again, if you look at his starts this year, he's not had that command that he's wanted, you know, and he's not been able to throw the ball consistently to certain spots. And I know he's still reasonably young and he's still learning and all those things are happening. And hopefully, I mean, I know all Oriole fans, and of course, the Nebraska is hoping that he becomes more consistent, and I'm sure he will with his off-speed stuff, because it's just learning how to pitch, and he's got the one thing you can't teach. He's got the stuff, and that stuff is there, you know, and sometimes it takes some a little bit longer than others before, you know, the light bulb really goes on. I'm not saying it hadn't gone on for guys yet, but I think it's really, after this year and a few more starts, I think you're really going to see a different kind of pitcher.
It was probably because that college he went to, Ben, right? That Louisiana State University thing.
Yeah. That's right. You know, but you guys, I mean, look, when you throw 95 to 97 in college, you get away with mistakes, you know, and you can do that at certain levels and even in the minor leagues, but in pro ball, not as much, you know. And again, it's the key to everything is staying out of those plus counts and fastball counts and being able to really mix in your off speed stuff at times, even when you get in those counts. And I think that's where Gosman's trying to work in that category. But for me, strike one is the important thing for him.
Ben McDonald joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Terry Ford in for Vinny Serrato today. Bob Haney with you on this Turn It Up Tuesday, Ben. Fenway Park tonight. Bundy, he's made an appearance. First major league appearance, I believe, was at Fenway Park back in 2012. What was your philosophy going in there to pitch against the Red Sox?
Well, a lot of people made a big deal about how short the wall was, you know, out in left field. And I think if you let that get in your head, it can affect you on a mental standpoint. But what I learned pitching in Fenway Park is don't try to change what you do best. You know, a lot of people say, well, when you go into Fenway, you want to pitch the lefties inside and the righties away so they can hit the ball to the deep part of the park out in right center field. I think that gets you off of what you do best, you know. And so I learned after a few years in the big leagues that no matter what park it is, no matter which way the wind's blowing out, I can't let those factors determine how I'm going to pitch that day. I got to go and pitch the way that I pitch and make adjustments during the ball game. And so that's really some of the best advice for you know, younger guys going into different ballparks is do your thing, man. If your thing is throwing fastballs down and in to righties, you know, and away from lefties, no matter if it's a short porch out there or not, make your pitches, stay down in the zone, work ahead, and things seem to always come to the top. And the first time I pitched in Fenway Park, the first few times, those thoughts went in my mind about, oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm dragging my knuckles on the left center field wall when I pitch, you know. But when you look at it, Fenway Park doesn't yield as many home runs, I don't think, per year as, say, you know, Camden Yards does or some of the other ballparks. So at the end of the day, you just go do what you do best. Don't change your game and pitch.
Well, in case you're wondering, Ben, you were 2-1 lifetime, 350 earned run average, 7 starts.
There you go.
At Fenway Park.
That's right. Hey, Ben.
Too bad.
You know, when you were talking about the difference coming from college and pro ball. I mean, man, you were like the highest rated prospect in the history of mankind coming out of LSU, and the Orioles drafted you. And I mean, you were a hammer back in the day at LSU. What was that moment that hit you? And it might have been on the mound. It might have been somewhere else where it's like, oh, bleep, I'm in pro ball now. This isn't LSU anymore, the SEC. I've got to change my game, or I might have great stuff, but I got to do things a little different because this is another level. At what moment did that finally hit you?
Well, I really think, you know, although my first big league start was a complete game shutout, but what was weird for me is when I was at LSU, my coach called every pitch for me, and I was just more of a robot. If they put a fastball on this side of the plate, I threw it. They put two down, I threw a breaking ball. They wiggled their fingers, I threw a changeup, but I didn't think why I was doing that. I just went and pitched. Now when you get to the big leagues, you call your own game as a pitcher, and I was a 21-year-old kid. And I get Chris Hoyle behind the plate, who's learning, too, who's a young guy, too. And we didn't have a clue how we wanted to set up hitters. That's something I never really learned how to do. And you normally get to do that in the minor leagues, you know, when there's 500 people in the stands and you get the opportunity to go succeed and fail and you learn how to pitch. I didn't have that luxury. And so I made mistakes in front of 35 or 40,000 every night there for a while. So there were some frustrating times, obviously, for me before, you know, the light bulb kind of came on. You never quit learning the game, but it takes you a few innings in the big leagues. And for me, it was about 200 innings in the big leagues before the light bulb kind of went on and said, all right, this is the game plan I'm going to have today. This is the approach that I want to have. And this is what I'm going to go out and try to do. But if this doesn't work, I can change what I'm doing because I'm that kind of pitcher that can make some adjustments along the way. And so that's when I realized I was in the big leagues, was that I had to call my own game. And, of course, once you start going through the lineups of, you know, the Oakland A's of the early 90s, and you go through the lineup of the Cleveland Indians of the mid-90s and teams like that, there's no rest in there. You know, Manny Ramirez and Jim Tomei was hitting like 6 and 7 hole for the Cleveland Indians of the mid-90s. You know, that's how good they were. And you scratch your head and you go, my gosh, these guys are awful good. You know, because some of the pitches that you made in college that nobody even got a bat on are all of a sudden – or hit a long ways, or hit hard, or hit for base hits, and you just realize how tough it is. But then when you sit back, you say, these are the best hitters in the world, and this is what it's all about. So mentally, I've got to be on top of my game mentally every time I throw a pitch, because one pitch can really cost you at the big league level.
And obviously, looking back, you would have loved to have had those extra innings in the minor leagues. Like you said, there's 5 people in the stands, 4 are asleep, and you can just kind of go in there and learn how to work with your C stuff or D stuff and learn what works and what doesn't work. And that's one of the things you didn't get. It would have been nice to get those extra innings in the minors, but your situation was a little different than most guys.
Yeah, it was, you know, and people often ask me, would you have rather learned at the minor league level or learned at the big league level? And of course, my answer is, listen, I felt like I was mentally tough enough to learn at the big league level. And look, there was a lot of nights I went home and I banged my head up against the wall why I couldn't consistently get big league hitters out and why it was so difficult to do this. But still, having said that, I wouldn't have wanted to learn at the minor league level. I mean, when you get a chance to learn at the big league level, yes, it's magnified. You got to face 20 reporters after the game and, you know, you make your mistakes in front of 40,000. But still, at the end of the day, I felt like I could handle it. And I just kind of waded through it. While there were a lot of tough times mixed in there, there was some success too as well. And so it took a little while, but then you start to be more consistent. And I know that's what all these guys are fighting for, is just a little bit of consistency out there. And I felt like my mechanics got better, and I started to learn the hitters a little bit. And I became more of a pitcher and realizing that I don't have to miss every bat. It's okay to hit bats out there. You just got to hit them not in the sweet spot, off the end of the bat, and more towards the handle at times, and you'll have a lot of success.
Ben McDonald, when are we going to hear you on the Orioles Radio Network doing some games?
I'm looking forward to it, guys. I know I got some games in late July and in August and September. I think there's 20 games on the docket right now, so I've always looked forward to coming back to Baltimore.
Ben, we appreciate the time. We'll be listening for you. We'll talk to you throughout the course of the season here in 2017.
Thanks, Ben.
Yes, sir. Good luck to you guys.
Appreciate it,
Ben McDonald. On the Ackerman Security Hotline.
Good stuff.
He's running out of breath there.
Yeah, we need to go take a break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.